From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise views, news, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and the people who are killing the planet, and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, or making phone calls when you are down in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, or if you'd like to be an Earth First Radio reporter or intern, keep that pencil and paper handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. As always, we start off with announcements. Coming up in Sacramento, California, the Governor for Sale rally for the forests. The rally is at noon on Tuesday, October 3rd. It's going to be on the west steps of the Capitol building in Sacramento, California. Bring bags of gray dollars to give to the governor, it says here. And that's part of the Board of Forestry Attend-a-thon, which is happening Monday through Wednesday, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. All 3 days from 8:30 in the morning to 5 p.m. at the Resources Building, 1416 9th Street in Sacramento. It's critical that you attend all 3 days of the Board of Forestry's last decision-making session of the year, and we'll have more information about that as we get down into the news. Once again, the Board of Forestry Attend-a-thon, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th from 8:30 in the morning to 5 p.m. And on Tuesday, October 3rd, rally at the noon on the west steps of the Capitol in Sacramento, California. The Governor for Sale rally for the forests. If you are in Northern California, near Redway, California, Daryl Cherney and the Chernobyls are live at the Iguana in Redway on Wednesday, September 20th at 8 p.m. Laugh and dance to the social commentary unique to Humboldt County's culture. Sliding fee donation. No one turned away for lack of funds. Last minute show promoting and benefiting the upcoming October 3rd rally. So once again, that's Wednesday, September 20th at 8 p.m. at the Iguana in Redway, California. More information, 707-923-4949. And then there's more stuff coming up in October. Won't read all that. Also appearing is the legendary Sage of the Siskiyous, Lou Gold, with Casey Neal, plus forest activism updates. All that's taking place next Thursday, September 21st at 7:30 p.m. at the SEIU Union Hall, 3536 Southeast 26th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. There is a sliding scale donation, $5 to $20. No one turned away for lack of funds. Lou Gold is a nationally known for his remarkable story and dedicated activism to save Oregon's wild Siskiyou area. Back on tour after a respite, Lou Gold will present his extraordinary ancient forest slideshow and detail the latest efforts to protect the Siskiyous. If you want more information, contact Cascadia Forest Alliance. Their hotline number, 503-241-4879. Once again, that's 503-241-4879, or visit their website, CascadiaForestAlliance.org. Again, that show, the legendary Sage of the Siskiyous, Lou Gold, and Casey Neal with forest activism updates, Thursday, September 21st, 7:30 p.m., SEIU Union Hall, 3536 Southeast 26th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Hope you folks have fun up there. Looking for a job of federal advocacy director for the Southeast Forest Project is needed. The director of federal advocacy will work with Congress and the administration to implement federal policy reforms that promote southeastern forest sustainability and reduce the adverse impacts of chip mills and industrial forestry and towards a moratorium on chip mills. We'll have more news about moratorium on the chip mills later on in the show. Plus, our commentary is about the Southeast today. You need to be pretty high-powered for this job. You need a BA and 5 years of federal policy experience or a doctorate in jurisprudence, I guess, be a lawyer. 3 years of knowledge of environmental issues is expected and forest issues preferred, litigation experience considered favorably, as well as demonstrated ability to work with grassroots groups, $30,000 a year or more, health insurance, 3 weeks of vacation and holidays, which is pretty good. Director will start on or about November 1st of this year. Please fax, email, or send a resume, cover letter, and 3 references to the Southeast Forest Project, 715 8th Street Southeast, number 2, Washington, D.C., 20003. Once again, that address is Southeast Forest Project, 715 8th Street Southeast, number 2, Washington, D.C., 20003. The fax number is 202-543-6375, 202-543-6375, or you can send email to jers@erols.com. That's jers@erols.com. They also have a state advocacy director position available, again, the Southeast Forest Project. You work with the Dogwood Alliance and other Southeast Forest Project staff, as well as state coalitions, Dogwood Alliance member groups, and forest conservation. Once again, salary just about the same, experience just about the same, except they want you to have experience in the Southeast Tennessee. Again, start on or about November 1st, location Washington, D.C. or Tennessee. Once again, email, fax, or send your resume, cover letter, and 3 references to Southeast Forest Project, 715 8th Street Southeast, number 2, Washington, D.C., 20003. Fax number 202-543-6375 or jers@erols.com. Sounds like interesting job opportunities. Let's move right into activist news now. More than 150 long-finned pilot whales have been killed in the Faroe Islands, a Danish protectorate, since July. Sea Shepherd International has learned from sources in the Faroes that 50 whales were slaughtered in a small bay. Another 100 were killed in one day outside of the city of Westmanna. The Sea Shepherd flagship Ocean Warrior went to the Faroes in July to protest the hunt, which is conducted every year in the name of tradition by wealthy islanders who have no subsistence need for whale meat but consume it as a cultural prerogative. The hunt, known as the grind, is horrifically cruel, using fishing boats to drive North Atlantic and migratory North Sea pilot whales onto shore and roping and hauling them up on the beach and then sawing off their heads with long knives, severing their spines and letting them bleed to death. The Faroes maintain the hunt is as humane as possible. Doesn't sound like it to me. And the long-finned pilot whale is not endangered. When they slaughter 100 whales at a time, the Faroese are wiping out entire pods and family groups, says Paul Watson, captain of the Ocean Warrior and president of Sea Shepherd International. Aside from the fact the number of North Atlantic long-finned pilot whales is unknown and they are listed as strictly protected by the Convention on the Conservation of European Wildlife and Natural Habitats, and aside from the barbarism and pointlessness of the act, such a practice is a direct threat to genetic diversity. They are removing building blocks from the gene pool of the species and damaging the web of life in the North Atlantic and the North Sea. Sea Shepherd has a boycott of Faroe Islands seafood and is also targeting several importers of smoked salmon and all subsidiaries of Amsterdam-based multinational corporation Unilever, which continues to do business with Faroese fish processors. So when you go to the store, look for Unilever on your products and don't buy them. Send a letter to the Prime Minister of Denmark, to suspend Denmark's annual subsidy to the Faroes until an agreement to phase out and end the Faroe Islands' pilot whale grind hunts have been signed between the Faroese Home Rule Government and the Kingdom of Denmark. Here's the address. Prime Minister Poul Nyrup Rasmussen, Prince Jordan's Guard 11, 1218 Copenhagen K, Denmark. I'll go through that address again. Prime Minister Poul, P-O-U-L, Nyrup, N-Y-R-U-P, Rasmussen, R-A-S-M-U-S-S-E-N, Prins, P-R-I-N-S, Jorgens, J-O-R-G-E-N-S, Guard, G-A-R-D, 11, that's the street address, I guess, 1218 Copenhagen K, Denmark, or you can send email to stm@stm.dk. If you want more information, contact the Sea Shepherd International, P.O. Box 2616, Friday Harbor, Washington, 98250. Once again, that address, Sea Shepherd International, P.O. Box 2616, Friday Harbor, Washington, 98250. If you can give them a call, 360-370-5500. That's 360-370-5500. Or, of course, their webpage, www.seashepherd.org, or email seashepherd@seashepherd.org. And ALF has been busy. In addition to the ALF liberation last week, the Animal Liberation Front has officially claimed responsibility for the largest ever mink release at the Earl Drulau and Sons Mink Farm. In a communique sent anonymously, which I will read below, to the ALF press office, the activists describe how they set 14,000 mink free and on the conditions of the mink inside the farm. More importantly, they address much of the disinformation which exists surrounding mink releases. This is kind of long, so let's get right into this. And then there's another one following that. ALF communique, the Animal Liberation Front is claiming responsibility for the largest liberation of animals in history, the release of 14,000 mink from the Earl Drulau and Sons Mink Farm. The address, 2477 239th Street in New Hampton, Iowa. During the early morning hours of September 7th, handheld cutting tools were used to strip away two entire sides of the farm's fencing, giving the mink an escape route. Inside the sheds, we found a horrific scene. Thousands of minks crammed 2 to 3 in a tiny wire cage waiting to die in a mess of waste and cobwebs. Any attempt by the fur industry to dismiss the Drulau and Sons fur farm as an isolated example should be considered a lie. The ALF know from experience these conditions to be industry standard. Every cage was opened and 14,000 mink released to freedom. The fur industry will be quick to respond to this beautiful act of compassion with baseless cookie-cutter form responses in an attempt to discredit our actions and divert attention away from this sadistic industry. The standard lies from the mouths of these murderers will be preemptively rebutted here. Lie number one, the mink will be hit by cars. The absurdity of this statement is that before liberation, death was 100% certain. Every animal on the farm was bred to die. While it is true a small number may be hit by cars, most will not, and if nothing else, they have been given a chance at freedom. Lie number two, mink are domestic and cannot survive in the wild. Mink are, in fact, only one or two generations removed from their wild cousins and have not yet had their wild instincts bred out. The Mink Rehabilitation Project, led by convicted ALF liberator Rod, proved this a decade ago. Mink legally purchased from a fur farm were released into the wild and shown through observation to retain natural survival instincts and thrive in the wild after a lifetime in a cage. Lie number three. Most of the mink were recaptured. Mink travel several miles a day. Most mink will had dispersed into the surrounding fields before the liberation was even complete. A few may be recaptured, but only a handful. Our hearts go out to those few recaptured who were given a shot at life and now have only suffering awaiting them ahead. Lie number four, the Animal Liberation Front are terrorists. Every action carried out by the Animal Liberation Front is an act of compassion. With the only intent to save the lives of sentient creatures, these actions are carried out with no benefit to ourselves, except peace of mind knowing we have done all we can to rescue animals from the torture chambers and concentration camps of the meat, dairy, egg, fur, and animal research industries. Their freedom is our victory. We break the law to adherence in adherence to a higher law, one which states animals are not commodities, not objects, but sentient creatures with a right to live. We will fight for the lives of these animals as if they were our own. Animal murderers, beware. The ALF is watching, and there is no place to hide. ALF communique from New Hampton, Iowa. ALF rescues 215 pigeons from an Iowa lab breeders. This is from Glenwood, Iowa. 2 days after the ALF released a record-setting 14,000 mink from a northeastern Iowa mink farm, they struck again at another animal abuse facility in western Iowa, this time in the Double T Farms was the target where 215 pigeons were liberated on Saturday, September 9th. Here's the communique. The Animal Liberation Front is taking credit for the liberation of 215 pigeons from Double T Farms. The address, 21655 Barris Road in Glenwood, Iowa. Owner Ted Golka, a breeder of animals for vivisection. Double T Farms breeds thousands of birds annually for the purpose of being tortured to death by biomedical research laboratories. Access was gained to the pigeon shed through an unlocked door. 63 pigeons were placed in containers and loaded into a vehicle for transport to a wilderness area out of the state. We were unfortunately logistically unable to transport by vehicle any more than these 63 pigeons. The remaining 152 birds were loaded into tubs and manually transported through nearby fields to wooded areas a half a mile in every direction and released to freedom. Every pigeon in the place was taken. Any attempt by the vivisection industry to claim these birds were unable to fly or survive in the wild will be denounced here as false. 1. All pigeons took flight immediately upon release. The domestic pigeon is a myth. We have full confidence in the survivability of these birds. While a percentage of the animals may become victim to wildlife as a natural predator-prey relationship in the wild, we accept this as the bird's role in the natural order, certainly preferable to confinement to a cage and torture until death inside a lab of one of the mad scientists who abound in our nation's universities and pharmaceutical companies. Atrocities committed on pigeons in labs exposed by the ALF in the past include electrocution of live pigeons inside psychology labs at UC Riverside in 1985, starvation experiments inside the University of Minnesota, which was raided by the ALF last year. We are the only hope for these animals. Millions of animals are shocked, cut open, blinded, and subject to more of the most barbaric and sadistic forms of torture ever devised by the human mind. This idiocy is carried out by sick, bloodthirsty madmen who slither through the halls of research institutions, leaving a trail of broken bones and blood. Data from animal studies is not applicable to humans. Every dollar spent on biomedical research is a waste, and the entire premise of this multi-billion-dollar industry is a fraud. The ALF has risen up from this society's dry well of compassion. Our compassion is for all life. Anywhere animals are killed or imprisoned for meat, fur, eggs, dairy, or any other purpose will be considered a target. These are acts of compassionate vigilance in defense of all living creatures, and we will only stop when they do. The animals only hope, ALF. Let's move on to something a little more upbeat. Not really, though. The Bureau of Land Management recently issued new rules affecting tabling and leafleting throughout the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument and associated facilities. The Bureau of Land Management has fabricated an emergency situation in order to enforce new rules immediately instead of giving the public 30 days to comment. Quote, we consider the proposed rules to be null and void until the agency complies with all legal requirements for promulgating such rules, said Stephen Clark, legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union, Utah. Quote, the statements in the proposed rules concerning the Escalante Wilderness Project's activities on Memorial Day weekend are completely false. BLM is apparently using these false statements as a justification for not following proper rulemaking procedures. Any effort to apply the proposed rules to ED, that's the Escalante Wilderness Project, before the agency has complied with all legal requirements will be considered a violation of EWP's First Amendment rights, and EWP may seek appropriate relief. In other words, BLM lied, explained Patrick Deal, founding member of Escalante Wilderness Project. The rule says our table cut off visitor access to the building, which it did not. We have pictures proving it did not, and BLM admitted it did not at our meeting in June. Our relations with the public, including local anti-environmentalists, were very cordial on that weekend, and every weekend we have tabled since. Tori Woodward, co-founder of EWP, agrees the only emergency at Escalante is out on the range where the BLM is letting cattle graze despite the drought. BLM says they need permits from leafleters in order to protect archaeological site-sensitive wildlife habitat and delicate natural formations. But cows are all over the monument right now, rubbing off rock art, knocking down Anasazi ruins, and trampling artifacts, as well as consuming what little forage has been allocated to wildlife. This blatant hypocrisy is too much to bear. If you want any more information, you can contact the Escalante Wilderness Project. Their phone number, 435-826-4778. That's 435-826-4778. Or you can send them email at toripat, T-O-R-I-P-A-T, at colorcountry.net. That's toripat, T-O-R-I-P-A-T, at colorcountry.net. Or you can contact the American Civil Liberties Union of Utah at 801-521-9862. That's 801-521-9862. And four Greenpeacers were arrested after chaining themselves to a conveyor belt and disrupting wood chip loading operations at a International Forest Products mill. This is in New Westminster, British Columbia. Police said two men and two women faced of mischief. Two of the protesters are Vancouver residents. One is a man is from California and a woman is from Germany. No names were released. Greenpeace said the protest was because Interfor opposes its demands to stop logging old-growth forests. Some IWA members retaliated for the environmental protest by briefly trapping the Greenpeace ship Arctic Sunrise at the dock at New Westminster Quay. The forest union members surrounded the ship with a log boom. Union President Dave Haggard said forestry jobs support communities and generate revenue and salaries. Other good news, Siskiyou National Forest has withdrawn indefinitely from three timber sales on a southern Oregon after a Southern Oregon environmentalist group filed a lawsuit to stop them. The Kalama Siskiyou Wildland Center claims clear-cutting the 195 combined acres will damage salmon spawning grounds and hurt watershed ecosystems. Tom Link, timber program member for the Siskiyou National Forest, confirmed that the Devil Quail Shelf and Father Oak Harvest in southwest Oregon had been placed on hold indefinitely. The decision was based on advice we had from our attorneys, Link said. We don't necessarily agree with the environmentalist position, but we'll take a look at some further environmental analysis. The decision is a major victory for salmon in particular, said Jay Linninger of the Kalama Siskiyou Wildland Center. The land in question is likely home to coho salmon, northern spotted owls, and marbled murrelet species forest officials haven't adequately checked for, he said. In addition, many of the trees there are more than 200 years old. Linninger said the sale would have increased some sedimentary plumes in fish-bearing streams and would have choked out salmon that spawn there. All three sales have been implicated. They weren't properly done. If you'd like more information, contact the Kalama Siskiyou Wildland Center, P.O. Box 332, Williams, Oregon, 97544. Once again, the Kalama Siskiyou Wildland Center, P.O. Box 32, Williams, Oregon, 97544. Or give them a call, 541-846-9273. That's 541-846-9273. And the Umpqua National Forest Diamond Lake Ranger District has been allowing logging in Snog in spite of two tree sits, one in Unit 2 and one in Unit 11. Unit 11 is being actively logged right now. A closure went into effect until just Unit 11. On September 5th, the UNF has put the Umpqua National Forest has put up heavy security around Unit 11, so heavy that it is unlikely that any food or water has made it into the tree sitter for a week. It appears that the Umpqua National Forest has decided that starvation and dehydration is the best way to punish a tree sitter who is stopping the logging of large old-growth trees. Despite the violation of the Northwest Forest Plan, the Diamond Lake District Ranger admitted that most of the large trees in Unit 2 were designated for logging. Actually, by law, none of Snog should be cut. The Umpqua National Forest's own fisheries biologists objected to Snog, saying it did not comply with the aquatic conservation strategy of the Northwest Forest Plan. UNF's own study in 1999 said there should be no more clear cuts in this area, yet Snog is 180 acres of clear cuts. Even the purchaser doesn't want to log Snog because of the price of timber has dropped and he's losing money. But the Forest Service ordered that he begin logging or be financially penalized in spite of all the opposition and even in spite of a human life hanging up in a tree. The Umpqua National Forest is pushing their timber sale to the ground. A few days ago, a reporter talked to John Umet, Diamond Lake Ranger District. His number, 541-498-2531. Once again, 541-498-2531 for Lake District Ranger John Umet. Asked him to please allow food and water to go into Unit 11. He's previously refused, saying he would like to see those trees cut. However, Cheryl Walters, Umpqua National Forest Public Affairs Officer, said she would look into the situation. Her number, 541-957-3259. Anyway, if you'd like more information, contact Francis at 541-673-7649. That's 541-673-7649 about the Snug timber sale. That's we're going to take a little musical break here and be back in the second half with more news on Earth First Radio. Right now we're going to listen to Arizona Power Lines. This is by Daryl Cherney off his cassette Timber War. Timber. This one's called Arizona Power Lines.
There's a nuclear demon, a menace to our time, and it travels through the desert on the Arizona Power Lines. Mark Davis and Mark Baker, and Margaret Millett too, they looked up at those towers, oh, they knew what they must do. Oh, ain't it grand, out in the desert, with a blowtorch in your hand. Oh, take it slow, it could all come crashing out on you. Watching, so they sent in Michael Tate, a phony Vietnam veteran vowed to guard the fascist state. Well, he won their trust and friendship, to his flaws they all were blind, till those flares lit up the skies above the Arizona power lines. Behind the scheme, well, they jailed the founder of Earth First, but they did not stop the dream. So should you walk at Abbey's desert and see a little flame that shines, don't just say a prayer for the next to dare the Arizona power lines. Oh, ain't it grand, out in the desert with a blowtorch in your hand.
And Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.